You're listening to The Truth Teller Show with your host, James Roberts, right here on News Caller Radio.
Welcome, everyone. This is James Roberts, The Truth Teller, and you are listening to News Caller Radio, Podtastic Saturdays. Today is June 8, 2013. I have a fantastic show for you today. Part 3 of a 3-part series with Victor Valley Union High School Superintendent Mr. Moman. The interview of Part 3 is going to run maybe around 12 minutes. So just sit back and stay tuned. Wow, Mr. G's, where did you find this song at? Takes me back. Jump on it. All right, let me stop messing around. You know, the first series of the videos, the video series that we put out, Part 1 and Part 2, had such a fantastic response. If you can please send us emails at tips@newscaller.com or at Twitter, at our Twitter account, newscallers, I would appreciate it. Submit your questions, and I will try to schedule an additional interview with the superintendent based off of the questions we receive via email, Twitter, or Facebook. I, by all means, am no expert in the school system. So my initial questions were just based off of news pieces we had linked to and et cetera, and just talk that I've received around town and heard of, and, you know, just in general conversation. But if you have specific questions about the inner workings of the school district, I would love to re-interview the superintendent. In my opinion, you know, he was very solid. He answered all of my questions. He didn't dodge any questions compared to some of the city servants that I have been reaching out to try to obtain interviews with. I have one video that I'm coming out next week. Stand by. You know who you are, city official, who wanted to dictate the interview. So you know I am definitely going to be exposing that next week. So for all of you listening, stay tuned. So just sit back and enjoy the show. Here's part 3 of a 3-part series.
Talking about the cost analysis.
Yeah, we did a cost analysis of Atlanta High School. We looked at the square footage of the school. And so based on square footage and then looking at what it would cost to staff it, it was beyond the district's means to try to staff the school. In other words, not so much in terms of teachers, but in terms of classified staffing, we looked at operational costs of the school. You have a huge Olympic-sized swimming pool that would cost enormous amount of money. Meaning you would also have to bring on additional staff to maintain the pool, because in the district, now we went from one swimming pool at Victor High School to 3.
Right.
Because the new sports complex in Silverado now has an Olympic-sized swimming pool. And both of those pools are much bigger than the Victor's pool.
Wow.
So then you're looking at air conditioning. So you need to bring on probably 2 additional HVAC guys, air conditioning heating guys, because that school alone has about 170 air conditioned heating units. On top of
so it's going to need adequate maintenance.
Right. Then you're looking at 58 acres or so. So now you're looking at additional security, daytime security and also nighttime security, which is an additional cost that no one expected. So just operating it and trying to maintain it was going to cost quite a bit of money.
Right.
The district.
Out there, the number that was floating was $3 million, but based off of that, it's really a lot less, correct?
It was several million. I would say it was in the $2 million range.
Okay, that was the projected number?
Yes.
But actual cost, it would have been lower? Or was it pretty much on target?
It was pretty much on target.
It was on target.
Yes.
Okay. And just to kind of move into kind of another area in regards to this school, because there's a few issues. I was reading, and let me find it, a 2011 Measure V Citizen Oversight Committee report, and I noticed there were several contractors on multiple projects throughout the district. Are you aware of that, sir?
I know that we had one contractor, Cal K-12, that actually managed both projects. Actually, they were going to manage all three projects, which would have been Victor, the new Atlanta facility, and Sirocco.
Now, because I'm going to ask you a variety of different questions, was the current board a part of this, or was it the prior board?
It was the prior board.
It was the prior board. So yes. Maybe you may or may not have the answers to this. In my opinion, there's only two industries that have benefited by this school. Because right now it's not the taxpayers or the students.
Mm-hmm.
It's the financiers of the project, the bond folks.
True.
And the people who built the school. All right?
And the architects.
And the architects. There you go. And now here's where it gets a little muddy for me. I start following the money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? and in my opinion is this. Was there any shenanigans going down? Because it's kind of bizarre to me that there would be multiple projects and the same architect and contractors who've gotten the bulk of the money. Not the little small general, the subcontractors, but the big guys got a big part of that money. Do you know if any of these architects or contractors have contributed any money to the board members or people within the city who are in political office?
That I have no knowledge of.
You have no knowledge
of
that at all?
I have no knowledge of that.
Do you know if any of those contractors, architects, or folks are members of the Victorville Chamber of Commerce?
Not that I'm aware of.
Not that you're aware
of.
Are you aware that the city of Victorville and your school district are members of the Chamber of Commerce? Are you aware of that?
We are members of Chamber of Commerce.
You are.
Yeah.
I won't hit you too hard on this because I know this isn't probably your arena, but... in my opinion, just from the optics looking outside,
mm-hmm.
not inside, it might not even be true, but from the outside, when government is intertwined with a private organization like the Chamber of Commerce, it looks kind of suspicious in the sense of this. I don't know if there was competitive bidding on these projects.
Okay. I don't either.
Right. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I don't know if any of these... businesses are members of the Chamber of Commerce. It's almost like they have like the inside skinny on getting the project.
Right.
And that's where I'm saying the optics don't look
right.
good.
Well, I do know that the construction supervisor or superintendent,
okay.
his company, they're not part of our chamber.
Okay.
And the architect, which is WOC,
mm-hmm.
they're not part of our chamber.
Okay, well, that's nice to know because I'm going to have to dig into that a little bit more and see if they've been contributing any campaigns out there. We're going to be wrapping this up, sir, because I know I got you for a short amount of time. But the financial advisor that was assigned to the district, she had made a quote, and I'm going to go ahead and read this real quick. About 88% of all the money the district gets goes to pay salaries and benefits of employees. The other 12% goes to utilities, insurance, and all kinds of other things that have to happen. Is that 88%, is that normal?
88 is a little bit too high, but
okay.
She's not far off. For personnel costs, in our district, you're looking at about 85%. And that ties into the number of students that you have within the district.
Okay.
Okay, so the goal that right now, based on that, the state is funding us on about 85%.
Right.
And then the other percentage of that is coming from property valuation.
And I only have two more questions for you, sir, about the Larry Walker, the tax collector out here in San Bernardino. He had mentioned that he did not think it was in the best interest of the district to be in regards to these bond anticipation notes and the cap. Could you make any comment on that?
I can. I'll try to keep it as short as possible.
Okay.
In order for us to get the cabs, the TRAN and the CFDs, Larry Walker had to be a part of that. His staff did work with us, the county, along with our bond council to be able to get these issued. If that wouldn't have occurred, then our district surely would have gone into state receivership. So Larry Walker does not believe in those, but
okay.
because of the financial position we were in, he supported it.
It had to go now?
Yes.
All right. And kind of wrapping it up, after all of the shenanigans that's been going down within the district and you've been putting out all of these fires, could you let the listening and viewing audience know where does the district go from here?
Well, the district needs to stay focused on kids.
Okay.
Kids are they're the center of what we're here for, number one. And making sure that they have programs and making sure that we keep things in place for our kids. Because, again, like I mentioned, our goal is to make sure our kids get the skills to be able to be prepared for a new global economy. So our goal is that we need to stay focused on what we're trying to do. We need to keep the cost-saving measures in place that we've established so far. We need to look at other arenas. As I mentioned to you, the ADA piece we need to look at and looking at really assessing our whole attendance accounting piece is valuable. Looking at reducing legal costs is another area that we need to look at in this district. I think we got a huge legal cost in our district. We need to look at our sub costs.
Okay.
We spend quite a bit of money on subs for teachers and classified and reducing that cost. Because there's additional costs that go along with that that people don't realize. There's EDD charge to the district once a quarter, and that's in the tune of about $34,000. That's also coming out of our general fund. And also we have to pay into the state unemployment insurance as well, and that's every month.
Right.
And that applies to every single individual in our district, and that's additional cost that's coming out of our budget as well.
And with, I guess, if potential enrollment is down and you have too many teachers or supporting staff, that's going to have to be, there's going to be some hard decisions that's going to have to be made, right?
True. We're hoping that with the current layoffs that we just went through, that we don't have to go into additional layoffs. I'd rather look at other areas, as I mentioned, the ADA piece, looking at sub costs, reducing costs that way, where we don't have to go in and do any additional cuts. And then the goal is also to see where we're losing kids, if we're losing kids. It could just be an attendance accounting error in the district, and that's what I'm hoping for.
Right. And I don't even know if you have the answer to this. I am the truth teller, by the way, James Roberts, the truth teller. You're listening to the Truth Teller Show. Mr. Superintendent, I personally like moving forward. I don't have a problem with moving forward, but I like addressing issues first so I know I don't repeat what happened. Because, you know, it's a shame that the district is in its current state.
It is.
I mean, let's be real. We're not talking about thousands of dollars. We're talking about millions of dollars. You know, that's a lot of money.
It is.
You know, so I personally think there needs to be a commission put together. And hopefully you could send this up to the board, or the board can watch this, where they need to put something together and actually address what happened. And as a community, we need to talk about this. I mean, because ultimately it's our kids. Mm-hmm. And there's no excuse that there aren't proper people that are watching the money.
Yes. You know, we know there's issues at the state level.
Right.
Because that overall funding that goes to schools in the state of California are not coming to schools. That's what you call deferrals.
Okay.
So when there's a shortcoming, you can't really pay for your teachers.
Right.
So that's why you have to have a reserve.
Right.
And that reserve is what makes up the difference. But with the amount of money that the state is shortchanging districts on, it makes it extremely challenging for school districts. Not only us, but there's quite a few districts in the state of California that's really on the edge. And
right.
Upland's probably your most recent one.
Right, Upland, and that's a whole other issue. And in conclusion, just for the teachers who are listening to this and supporting staff, it's my understanding that potentially the district may be selling some of its assets to stay afloat. Is that true?
Very true.
Okay.
Very true. We're currently looking at two properties, and we just put together what we call a 7-11 committee.
Okay.
No less than 7, no more than 11. And they're an oversight committee that will be looking at selling the properties and making sure that we go through the proper chain of command.
Okay, thank you. And we're going to end it right here. Is there anything you would like the listening audience to know?
No, just let the listening audience know that you know, we're working as hard as we can. I think we have good people in place, very honest, straightforward. They do have integrity, and our primary goal is to make sure that we have programs in place for kids.
Fair enough. Well, hopefully I didn't hit you too hard. You invite me back to talk to you. My name.
Thank you, James.
All right. And just remember, folks, it doesn't matter if you drink tea on the left or coffee on the right. Just don't drink the Kool-Aid. I'm out. Peace.
There you have it, folks. That was my three-part series interview with the superintendent, Mr. Moman. I want to go ahead and give him a personal shout-out for coming on the show. He was very solid. If you have questions for the superintendent, go ahead and submit them to me once again at tips, T-I-P-S, at newscaller.com. Until next time, I am the Truth Teller. Peace.
You've been listening to News Caller Radio with the Truth Teller, James Roberts, also found online at newscaller.com. Be sure to tune in next time.